Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In John chapter 1, we read of the preaching of John the Baptist. He stood and proclaimed when he saw Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." We read how that one of those who heard John speak and followed him was a man named Andrew. He was Simon Peter's brother. And the Bible says, "He first findeth his brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone." Now John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. He came preaching, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight." And he preached, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, nearby, soon to be." In Mark chapter 1 and verse 4, we record, "John did baptize in the wilderness, and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." In John chapter 3, he said, "Ye yourselves bear me witness, that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but he the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth and rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice, this is my joy and is fulfilled. He must increase and I must decrease." Yes, Andrew had heard John preaching this message concerning the coming Messiah. Among those who heard Jesus described as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world was the subject of our lesson, Andrew. Now, over half the time that we read about Andrew, he is identified in reference to his more famous brother, Simon Peter. Andrew did become one of the 12 apostles, but he was not of the inner circle with Peter, James, and John. Andrew was a fisherman by occupation. He was not a noted man of this world by regard men, nor was he conspicuous for his work in the New Testament like some of the others. Relatively little is really said about him when you compare it to what is said about Peter and James and John and Paul and Barnabas and others. He wrote no record of the life of Christ like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He is not known to be eloquent like Apollos. He was not the son of exhortation like Barnabas. He was not a great soul winner like the Apostle Paul. And even yet, he's not recognized as much as his Timothy and Titus. You know, sometimes people think if they can't be among the greats, among the more outstanding people, they'll do nothing and they'll be nothing. Oh, that's a terrible mistake. But Andrew was not of that perverted disposition. Jesus once said, "And to every man his work." Paul wrote, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Yes, everybody's work is important. Andrew went about his work in such fashion that he stands as an example for us for winning souls. He seems to have been of a very quiet and persistent and faithful disposition in his task. He's noted for introducing people to Christ. He was a real missionary in what we sometimes call personal work. And what qualified Andrew to be such a soul winner? Well, first, he was convinced of the truth himself regarding Jesus. He said to Peter, "We have found the Messiah." Now, this was not guesswork on his part. He did not say that Jesus could possibly be the Messiah, or that Jesus was someone that maybe they needed, or that Jesus was someone that maybe offered something pretty good. There was complete assurance and confidence in Andrew. He was positive without doubt, "We have found the Messiah." The Christ had come. "We know him," Andrew says. And that was his attitude. Friend, unless one is convinced of that truth himself, how can he expect to convince others of that truth? The faith of Andrew was in the person, Jesus Christ. We have found him. He had not just found someone or some organization or some code of doctrine or some ethic because Andrew accepted him. Without the acceptance of the person, Jesus Christ, there can be any real acceptance of his teaching. And when one rejects the teaching of Christ, it's evident that he rejects the person of Christ. Andrew's confidence was in Jesus. So must it be with everyone who is convinced concerning Christ and who would lead others to Christ. We want to repeat for emphasis' sake and to make clear the truth on this matter, that our faith is in Christ, the person. But how can there be a separation between the person and the person's doctrine, the person's church, the person's identity? There cannot be. To accept Christ, you must accept who he is and what he is and what he said. Andrew was qualified to be a soul winner because he sought others to come to Christ. You see, he made a deliberate, intentional effort in that direction. Would you want to let others know if you had come to a knowledge of the cure for cancer? Could you keep it quiet? Could you refuse to tell others, let them be aware of it? Why, certainly not. The child of God in Christ has more to offer than the cure of cancer. Now, that might sound extravagant, but that is so. You see, the message of salvation is of eternal nature. It has to do with sin that separates man from God. Sin is hideous and dreadful. It contaminates this life. It brings ruin eternally to those who are not saved from its bondage. Is there not something essentially selfish and wrong in a professed Christian who has been forgiven of his sins and not tell others about the possibility of the forgiveness of their sins? The first one Andrew sought was Peter, his fleshly brother. And like Cornelius, he called his kinsmen and his friends, Acts 10 and verse 24. When Peter eventually did so much for the cause of Christ, do you not think that Andrew rejoiced that he had sought Peter? Surely he knew that the day that he brought Peter to Christ was a good day's work. And what did Andrew tell Peter? He simply told him of his faith and the reason for his faith. He had evidence from John and from the apostles. He himself had been with Jesus. Who cannot do as much as Andrew did? He knew the blessings of being with Christ. He wanted Andrew to know, and he wanted Peter to know, the same joy they had together. Andrew realized that phrase that someone has coined, "We have been saved to save." David once said, "Restore unto me the joy of salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be concerned and converted unto thee." Another instance when Andrew introduced others to Jesus is recorded in John the 6th chapter. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "What shall we buy bread for these they may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little." But one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" Now this matter of feeding this multitude was such that Philip concluded it could not be done. And neither did Andrew have any real solution to offer, but he obviously brought the lad with what he had to Jesus. And Jesus took what the lad possessed, and with it blessed it, and the multitude was provided for, every one of them. There was even leftovers. This was one of the great miracles performed by Jesus during his personal ministry. and it was a result of Andrew bringing that lead to Jesus. Now, there are several heroes in this event, but Andrew is one of them. What if Andrew had done nothing? Sometimes those of us who preach and teach as well as parents, we feel that we're accomplishing so little regarding those with whom we work. It may be that we're just too inclined to overlook what seems to be insignificant, but in reality it's important. From Andrew, who brought the lead with his small amount of food, we shall learn not to consider anything or anybody without significance. Nobody is too small to be brought to the Lord. There is no such thing as an unimportant person, because each one of us are a spirit that shall survive this earthly life. So we should learn to be an Andrew and consider everything and everybody to be a potential for the cause of Christ. We shall not despise the day of small things. And John chapter 12 tells us how that there were some Greeks who sought to see Jesus. They came to Philip. Philip really didn't know what to do. He took them to Andrew, and Philip and Andrew took them to Jesus. We see friend Andrew was busy taking people to Jesus. These people wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to know more about Jesus. And while they did not know what they needed to know, they went to the ones who took them to Christ. When Philip was approached, he didn't know what to do. He took them to talk with Andrew, and Andrew took them to talk with Christ. Friend, I want to suggest to you, the Lord's church needs Andrews today, those who have an interest in saving the lost. The early church had this concern. Even under persecution, when the church was scattered abroad, the scripture says they went everywhere preaching the word. They had the Andrew attitude. One man tells another. That's in essence what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Someone taught me. Someone taught you, Christian friend. Probably we're the result of combined efforts of many people having been taught. But do we not have the obligation to teach others so that they can know the joy and the hope of salvation in Christ that we have come to know? This is a part of that great commission. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It is not sufficient that we depend upon just a few preachers to do that task. Each one, to the extent of his ability and opportunity, should become an Andrew. Otherwise, souls that could be in heaven will never be saved. Someone has written, if you cannot sing like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell of the love of Jesus. You can say he died for all. If you cannot cross the ocean and the heathen land explore, you can find a soul much closer. You can find one just next door. Yes, Andrew took an interest in those round about him. He wanted them to know about the Christ. Now, if you are in Christ, you've been forgiven of your sins, having washed clean by the blood of Christ when you were baptized into Christ. You're a child of God. You have the hope of heaven. Will you not share the good news of salvation with others? What they must do to be saved in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, will you not show them by your life what a Christian ought to be? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.